Andy Murray runs on an athletics track. Andy is a teenager.
If all goes to plan, Andrew Murray from Dunblane could be one of the brightest stars on the international tennis circuit. Many believe he has the potential to go all the way to the top in the professional game.
BBC Sports presents.
He was a very coordinated young child. He was a very smart match player from a young age.
A lot of poise, Andrew Murray.
The trick is for Andrew Murray is to keep going from this early promise so that one day Scotland can say it truly has a contender for the Wimbledon Championship.
You just felt, come on, Andy, just make that breakthrough.
What we're looking for now is the icing on the cake.
People are saying, when is a Brit ever going to win a major?
What do you have to do to beat Rafa?
Play well.
We were all certainly hoping that Andy could end that narrative.
Very proud, Andy Murray.
It's a complete and utter grind.
My body's supposed to play tennis. That's what I've kind of taught it to do since I was a kid.
You become public property.
I think I persevered, and that's really been the story of my career.
The waiting is over.
You deserve to win after everything, after being in that position a lot of times.
You've got to ask yourself, what's it taken for him to battle the greats, go toe-to-toe with the best in the business, and come out victorious?
That character, the stubbornness, the hunger, desire, the will to win is Andy Murray's greatest attribute.
Shirtless and sweating, Andy sits on a bench next to the running track, his head bowed. Andy Murray, will to win. London, 2005.
The first question, please.
If you were referred to as the, you know, the great new hope of British tennis, which you have been, what would you make of that?
Well,
is that rest easily with you?
Yeah, well, I think I am. I think there's a lot of good players in Britain now, from the younger ones that are doing not bad. But obviously my results have been the best out of a lot of them, so everybody's going to say that I am the new hope, and I just have to do what I'm doing on the court. It doesn't really bother me.
OK, thank you very much indeed. I'm sorry. Time up. Thank you.
Thanks.
I think his reaction to anything is to be truthful and say what you're thinking. Nothing really prepares you for suddenly being in front of a room full of about 300 people.
Judy Murray, then Andrew Castle.
The hype coming into Wimbledon was really, really high. He'd won a Grand Slam junior title, and that's all very well, but the leap to seniors can be very, very difficult.
I remember going to watch him practice at Wimbledon on the weekend before the championship started, and we walked past the centre court. The place is pretty deserted. And he went, "I want to play in there, Mum." And I said, "Oh, you might have to wait a few years for that." And he went, "Why?"
Judy, his big moment's almost here. How's he been at home this morning?
Just pretty much the same as every other morning. You know, hard to get him out of his bed. Sits down, has his breakfast, watches the telly, listens to loud music, same as every other morning.
And you're more nervous than him, are you?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Now, you videoed his opponent yesterday.
Because Andy was so young, everything was new, so every opponent was a new experience for him. So we weren't sure how he was going to cope. On the big occasion, his very first Wimbledon up against the very experienced George Bastl.
Bastl's shot hits the net.
Very clever.
He's gone two sets up against George Bastl, who's by no means a bad player.
And he wins the game.
A day for Andrew Murray to remember. It's a fine start to his Wimbledon career, his Grand Slam career.
Well, the old and bold of the British press corps who were watching that game today were saying they thought it was the single most impressive debut by a British tennis player that they'd seen at Wimbledon.
I mean, he's only 18 years old. He's just starting out. And, you know, I hope they just don't build him up so quickly, then they want to tear him down so quickly.
This kid's already got unbelievable expectations on
We've
him.
We've been starved of this.
I understand.
Poor Tim's had to take it for so many years.
I know, and this is a kind of a good lesson for him, but let's not do the same thing to him as we do to Tim, huh?
Morning, Tim. Hello. How are you feeling?
I've been through so many British players being put pressure on. It's immense. Particularly Tim Henman.
Voice of Tim Henman.
Wimbledon is more than a tennis tournament. When I was growing up, we didn't really have any male players that were competing to win it.
Tim Henman playing in his fourth Wimbledon semi-final. And the long, long wait for a British singles finalist goes on.
Yeah, I guess the sort of the media spotlight, there's nothing you can do about it, but if I could change it, I probably would.
He had such a tough time of it.
Tim Henman has crashed out of Wimbledon in the second round. It's his worst performance at the championship for a decade.
Andrew Murray, do you think he's the best of the British?
Definitely, yeah. Tim Henman is history.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
Oh, no, Tim, hold on.
I always felt, you know, when he was coming up, this was definitely my successor, and I was excited about it. There wasn't an ounce of me that was bitter or jealous that here was someone that was going to take over my mantle, and I did realise that he was going to go on to be a much better player.
Well, the spotlight now turns to Andy Murray, the only British player left in the championships.
Tim's driven away in the back of a car.
An excellent performance by Andy Murray and some great newspaper headlines this morning. Murray not worried by hype and expectation. Don't worry, here's Murray. And Stepanek next. What are you honestly expecting to happen, Andy?
I'm expecting to lose the match. He's much better than me. He's in top 20 in the world. This is only my second five-set match. I'm going to try my best to win. I'm going to put 110% in. But maybe my 110% is not going to be enough.
He tactically pulled Stepanek apart.
He's got it! Oh, my goodness! 6-4.
Andy looks ecstatic.
On a day that Britain needed a boost, who'd have thought it would come in the shape of 18-year-old Andy Murray from Dunblane? With Tim Henman losing in the second round today, the king is dead. Long live the king. What a performance.
He feared nothing. He had nothing to lose and everything to gain. There we were on the middle Saturday, busiest day of the championships, and I remember him saying, "See, I told you I'd get on the centre court." I remember sitting in the player box for the first time. Never would have imagined you'd find yourself sitting in there.
What an ovation when Andrew Murray came out, and incidentally David Nalbandian.
He was nervously excited.
Andy punches the air after winning a point. As does Sean Connery, who's amongst the spectators.
He was playing with a massive amount of freedom. He was playing phenomenal tennis for someone so young.
And it's two set points.
A spectator waves a St. Andrew's flag. Andy serves.
We all felt a massive competitive fire. He ran out of energy, physically, mentally. The tank was empty. Well, that's it for this year.
3-2.
And it was a fantastic match. He lost, and he hated it. And it doesn't matter that he did well. He should have been in the fourth round in his own head.
When you, as a British player, start to play well at Wimbledon, that's when, inevitably, over time, the expectations are going to increase massively.
I don't mind when people call me the new Henman because I take that as a compliment, but still, I understand that I still have a very long way to go, and I think everything has gone a little bit over the top since I got to the third round here, and I'm just going to try and concentrate on my tennis and not worry about everything else.
I think everyone watching just appreciated how hard he fought. He gave his all, and he showed us all that he had a huge, huge future. He looked so at ease, as if he was born to be on centre court.
A bird's eye view of a small town, then a sign that reads Dunblane.
As a child, he was always incredibly active, quite willful, in a good way. He was ridiculously competitive in everything that he did.
You know, he was a great young guy. He was great fun to be around. The nicest naipens, enjoying himself, having good fun. And then you'd introduce a bit of competition into it and it would change. You say, oh, my God, you know, he's right in your face.
My nickname when I was a kid was Bam Bam, because I used to just get so angry.
The tennis club in Dunblane was very close to where we lived. It was only about 300 metres away. And when they were very small, I started to work there a couple of hours a week as a volunteer. So they kind of grew up around the tennis courts.
When we were growing up, not many people played tennis in Scotland, so to have someone to practice with, like Jamie, was a huge help. Because he was much older than me, he was bigger than me, he was smarter than me. He used to beat me at everything. I was always trying to be as good as Jamie.
He was probably six or seven when he started to watch tennis on the television. He had a huge admiration for Andre Agassi.
I thought you were going to ask me for a tennis tip there for a second.
I can remember having to buy him a cap that had a fake ponytail on the back to help him to look like Andre Agassi.
A news reporter tries to return a serve.
This is what I call being in the firing line. Serves at up to 115 miles an hour, and that's from a 14-year-old schoolboy.
Hopefully I'll be playing in Wimbledon in about 4 years in senior Wimbledon and maybe junior Wimbledon in 2 years. But that's probably one of my main ambitions, to play there.
Doesn't really bother me what I do, just as long as I'm playing.
Remember the face and the name. Andrew Murray is just 16, but he's already reached world junior number 8.
Wimbledon, of course, if you're a Brit, it's the crown jewel of tennis. We'd have lots of little kids who'd say, yeah, I want to win Wimbledon, but it's a pipe dream. You never think it will happen.
Andy with his mum and brother watching an indoor match.
When Andy was almost 15, he had an opportunity to play for Great Britain, and Great Britain got to the final and faced Spain. And Spain, of course, had Rafa.
Footage of an energetic Rafael Nadal on court.
He just went on this rant. Rafa doesn't go to school. Rafa trains at the Mallorca Tennis Academy. He gets to hit on clay in the sunshine. He gets to hit with Carlos Moya. And what have I got? And we thought, let's get him there and get him started. It turned out to be a really, really great move for him.
In Spain, tennis is a big tradition, no? So we have a lot of very good, you know, academies, schools that you can practice well in.
He was recognising that if he wanted to keep up with the best in his peer group, he was going to have to do more.
It was a good setup, but as a parent, you weren't comfortable. Your boy was away, your son was away from you. But he knew that's what he wanted to do, and we supported him in that.
A man knocks on the door of Andy's accommodation.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
This is home then, is it?
Yeah, it's a little bit messy just now. I don't know if you're going to be able to fit in.
Hey, we'll try.
Once I moved over to Spain was when I started to understand hard work. I was practicing like 5 hours a day. I was used to practicing like for an hour and a half. And seeing the guys over there, how they trained, the discipline that they had. The best decision I ever made to go over there.
I don't know, I want to get into the top 10 in the world, and it's going to be very difficult, but I think if I keep working like this, I've got a chance.
Specifically, is there anything that you feel you need to work on to take it up to the next level?
I think I need to work on everything in my game, and I need to try and model myself around Federer, who has pretty much the perfect game, and none of my shots are anywhere near as good as what he is now, so I'm going to have to work on everything.
2006, Wimbledon third round versus Roddick.
Another day, another big match. What are your first thoughts?
Obviously, I had a great win against Roddick, but today's obviously a different day. Great champions learn to, you know, get themselves up for it, even if they're playing badly.
There were perhaps a few question marks before the tournament with his fitness.
Phenomenal performance from the muscle man from Dove Lane.
Fasten your seatbelts. The Murray ride is just starting now.
A quarter-final loss against Nadal.
Rafael Nadal is through to another semi-final.
New York, 2008.
Andy Murray's dream of winning his first Grand Slam title was crushed last night by the world number two, Roger Federer. Murray had been trying to become the first British man to win a Grand Slam for more than 70 years. In the end...
Brilliant tennis of a calibre that suggests he'll be contesting more Grand Slam finals.
To be in the US Open final in 2008 emphasised how quickly Andy's game was developing, but also, you know, his confidence and his inner belief.
OK, we're rolling.
OK.
Go ahead and give me a level there, Andy.
One, two, three, four.
Thank you, sir.
I mean, the one thing that the US Open did for me was give me extra motivation and obviously belief that I could do it. You know, I felt like I was very close. I lost in the final to the best player of all time, so there's no shame in that.
Should I just keep going?
Yeah, just give us two or three, yeah?
He repeatedly mimes his forehand swing.
If you said to me when I was a kid, you're going to get to number four in the world, I mean, I would have signed up for it straight away and I would have been so content. But once you get there and get to that level... Like, I'd be really disappointed now if I finished my career and I didn't win a Grand Slam.
After 2008 US Open, to break into the top four was a great achievement. However, the three other players, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, this was, I think, a unique era in our sport.
Do you consider yourself now the best player in the world, never to have won a Grand Slam?
I'm still young and, you know, getting closer, I think.
What about Andy Murray? He's so close to his goal of winning a major. What does he need to do to take the final step?
I don't think there's any question he's a complete tennis player. But what we're looking for now is the icing on the cake. Nadal and Federer, at this moment in time, they don't lose those points.
After all the hype, the result does come as a huge disappointment.
A sixth Wimbledon championship for Roger Federer.
If you really want to be amongst the true greats, you have to figure out a way to overcome that on a pretty consistent basis.
I mean, I've had to up my game, I've had to work harder. They've definitely improved me a lot. Not saying I'm in the same class as a Federer, but that, you know, I'm part of that.
His consistency was outstanding, up against the best players in the world. We hadn't had that particularly in a British player before.
A regal Rafa performance at Wimbledon. He's the champion again.
What do you have to do to beat Rafa?
Play well, would have thought.
It doesn't need to change a lot of things, so this is just a little bit of mental part, in my opinion.
I just need to get 10-15% better, because I think that's right now how far behind I am from Rafa.
There's a new champion, Novak Djokovic.
You just felt, come on, Andy, you know, just push it one more bit. You know, you're getting to the semis, you're getting to the finals. Just make that breakthrough. He was getting so close time and time again.
His game is so good, but the era Nadal's that he's in, Nadal is better than him at the moment, and Djokovic is right there as well.
Guys, try not to sound him.
Voice of Andre Agassi.
I know Andy a little bit off the court, and he's... a real likable, easygoing kind of guy, and on the court, he seems incredibly moody and slightly unpredictable.
Why are you going down the line? He talks up to his box up there and all his supporters.
In some matches, for sure, it's let me down. Something that I've tried to improve. Well, it's the only reason I've not quite won a slam the last few years. I don't know, but it's probably contributed to it, so that's something that I've tried to get better at.
He's a real perfectionist. He shows his frustrations. He wears his heart on his sleeve, but it's only because he was trying so hard to achieve what he wanted to achieve.
Andy Murray has appointed the former world tennis number one, Ivan Lendl, as his new full-time coach.
Lendl ended up joining Murray's camp, and they had huge similarities. Lendl had lost his first four Grand Slam finals. I think it spoke volumes of how Andy was never going to leave a stone unturned. He wanted to try and maximise every opportunity.
First step. Drive. Good, Andy. Good. Good. OK, both.
2012. Crowds milling about at Wimbledon. Voice of Tim Henman.
Going into Wimbledon in 2012, in my mind, Federer was the clear favourite. He was the grass court king, but Andy was a close second favourite.
Third round versus Baghdatis.
Throughout 2012, Andy had to dig deep to come through matches.
Murray is yet again in the all-too-familiar position of being the only British photo opportunity left.
Andy Murray is through.
So Andy Murray is through to his fifth quarter-final in 5 years, but this is a real test.
He was tested all the way.
Quarter-final versus Ferrer.
It's another semi-final at Wimbledon for Andy Murray.
It's going to be a tough test for Murray, and he cannot let Tsonga control the point. So Murray, he's got to be aggressive himself.
Oh, that's reminiscent of the opening couple of sets from Murray.
Semi-final versus Tsonga.
What a way to do it! Andy Murray is through to his first ever Wimbledon final.
Through to the Wimbledon final. What's your first reaction?
Bit of relief, excitement. Yeah, tough to explain. You know, a lot of pressure, obviously, when you're on the court. There's a lot of stress, but you need to just try and focus on the next point, not think about what's happened in the past. And it is hard sometimes, but it makes a big difference when you do it.
What can it possibly have been like, Andy, for your parents watching there?
I've no idea. I'm not really that bothered. It's a lot harder for me, that's for sure.
I don't feel sorry for him. I'm not saying it's easy for him now, it's not, but he can cope with it, and obviously he can, because if he couldn't cope with it, he wouldn't be there.
William Murray, Andy's dad.
There are all sorts of rumours swirling here, that busloads of Scots are on their way to join the queue, that a few centre court tickets will be released in the morning. Whatever the truth of it, the sense is that a Brit in the final at Wimbledon is a moment in history that shouldn't be missed.
All eyes on Andy Murray.
Can Andy Murray take the title?
There's real excitement here in Dunblane. These are the very courts Andy Murray trained on as a young man.
There was always going to be reference to Fred Perry, our last male British Wimbledon champion back in 1936.
Fred Perry of Great Britain, champion 3 years running in 1934, 5 and 6. The last Englishman to win the title.
We were all certainly hoping that Andy could end that narrative.
This really is an unbelievably huge match for Murray. You know, this could turn his entire career around in a totally different direction.
The fact that there was a British player in the Wimbledon final, this had something extra. It had a little bit more.
This is what you live for. This is what all that hard work is about.
Andy struggles and fails to reach a volleyed ball from Federer.
We all knew that Roger is so hard to beat on the grass courts, and Wimbledon had become his home.
Oh, man. Killer blow.
You could see that he was giving everything. He just wasn't able to find a way to get past the magic of Federer's racket.
Championship point number two.
Federer sees a returned ball from Andy go out and celebrates.
Again, said Max Federer. Championship number seven for Roger Federer. The greatest of all time.
When I lost that final, I was gutted. I didn't know if I was ever going to win a Grand Slam. I didn't know if I'd ever be in the position to play in a Wimbledon final again. And they're all of the things that you think about when you're sitting in the chair after you've just lost the match. And then obviously you need to go up and kind of address everybody and speak about it. And all you're thinking about is, I may never get another opportunity to do this again.
Andy takes a moment to collect his thoughts before raising a microphone to his mouth.
Right, I'm going to try this and it's not going to be easy.
He looks emotional.
I could see he was already in tears. And it was really upsetting me to see him suffering so much.
Everybody always talks about the pressure of playing at Wimbledon, how tough it is, but it's not the people watching. They make it so much easier to play. The support has been incredible, so thank you.
You can be very proud, Andy Murray.
It took him to cry in his acceptance speech for people to suddenly take a step back and go, wow, you know, he has got a heart. You know, he is a sensitive soul.
Andy wipes away a tear.
I think if nothing else, you're going to get more people understanding what it means to you as a person, because he's a pretty guarded guy. Very guarded, actually.
John McEnroe. After his loss to Federer, Andy leaves the court.
I said to myself after that, you know, I may never win a Grand Slam. I was working as hard as I could work and was just getting close, and it was never quite enough.
The London city skyline.
I was unbelievably upset and disappointed and all of those things, but the Olympics was coming up.
Welcome to London.
I was like, I'm going to make the most of this. I got back on the practice court, ended up having probably the most important week of my tennis career.
Welcome to Wimbledon. This is tennis.
The night when Jess Ennis, Mo Farah, Greg Rutherford won their gold medals was a huge inspiration. I think gave, you know, me some momentum going into the final the following day.
Ladies and gentlemen, representing Great Britain, Andy Murray.
He lost a tough match to Federer, but he sort of had to come back real quick and get into the Olympics, and that was the first time where I really saw the crowd really behind him.
Have a listen to this. What a scene here. Every seat taken.
Federer serves.
Andy just dominated. I mean, from the word go, he played incredible tennis.
It looked like a different Andy. He's had the game plan there. He had the belief. He had Roger on the run.
How many times he's been denied by these boys, and now he can put one over them.
It's a golden triumph for Andy Murray. And he finished off like the champion that he is.
I think that kind of was the making of him, really. It kind of showed me kind of how much he'd sort of grown up and matured and whatnot. Because I think maybe in the past, maybe he wouldn't have been able to have dealt with that so long.
Gold medalist and Olympic champion, representing Great Britain, Andy Murray.
He receives his gold medal.
I remember him coming up, and we're all standing on the lawn waiting for him, drinking champagne, and he came up and put the medal around next to him. Is that what you're waiting for, Minnie? He calls me Minnie because I'm so small, you see. And he put the medal around my neck. That was lovely. He was genuinely very thrilled.
Shirley Erskine, Andy's grandmother. 2012, New York. Andy training on the court.
once Andy had the Olympic gold, you just felt that he was on a par with all these players. He was right up there. He was one of the big four.
Andy Murray is into his second Grand Slam final of the year after beating Thomas Burdick at the US Open.
For him to get to the final and then face Novak, who's probably the ultimate competitor of all competitors, I just thought this is going to be a massive task.
I was just thinking about what happened at Wimbledon. You know, no one had ever lost their first five Grand Slam finals.
Murray for the US Open. Murray serves. Forehand return from Djokovic. It's out! And Andy Murray has won his first Grand Slam!
Andy Murray becomes the first British man to win a Grand Slam in 76 years.
Because I'd lost a lot of tough matches and hadn't won a Grand Slam, and I always felt like, you know, I had to prove something to myself, to the other players and my peers, and, you know, after finally doing it, I felt there's a huge weight lifted off my back, so I can just, you know, move on to almost the second part of my career where I can focus on how I can try and win another one.
To win your first Grand Slam, it's everything you've trained for, everything you've worked for, and to beat the best of the best, it couldn't have been better for you.
Andy arrives at Heathrow. Dunblane.
There was an opportunity to come back to Dunblane and do like an open top bus tour. He was perhaps a little unsure about whether anybody would turn up or be interested.
You know, I don't know how many people were there, but it was enormous considering the size of Dunblane.
Andy,
Andy,
Andy, we're proud of you, son.
It means the world to this town. We've had hard times and good times, and this is one of the good times.
Andy's brother, Jamie.
After all the negative sort of publicity that, you know, the town got after what happened so many years ago, that, you know, that it's able to be shown in a positive light. Yeah, I guess that's sort of testament to, you know, the success that Andy's had.
16 young children and their teacher have been shot dead by a gunman at a primary school near Stirling.
Andy's class were on their way to the gym. His class were the next ones in the gym, and his class were stopped, you know, when somebody went up, when they heard the noise and discovered what had happened. I was one of hundreds of mums that was queuing up at the school gates waiting to find out what had happened, not knowing if your children were alive or not.
You know, at the time, you have no idea how tough something like that is, and then, but yeah, then as you start to get older, you realise the whole town, they recovered from it so well. Every time I come back, the support I've had and from everyone has just been incredible. Yeah, very proud of where I grew up and where I came from.
2013, London.
2012 was a massive breakthrough year for Andy, winning the Olympic gold, winning his first Grand Slam. But come Wimbledon 2013, this was the one that mattered. This was the one where everyone's thinking, will there be a British champion?
Tim Henman.
You want to get through the first week, then you can almost regroup, go again in the second week. But when you have Federer and Nadal, two of the greatest champions in our sport, losing, Murray's the next favourite, along with Djokovic.
And he makes a superb return over the net.
That's what it means, sir.
It was important for Andy not to be distracted by that, and I think that's where experience, his team around him, you know, do play an important part.
His physique has changed dramatically over the years. You can see the hard work that he's put into making that body the best it can be to compete with the best in the world.
Wimbledon now, and Andy Murray is on centre court for his quarter-final match against the Spaniard Fernando Verdasco.
I will never forget the quarter-finals against Verdasco.
It's too long, it's two sets. Verdasco.
Tedesco is in control on centre court.
Andy was really struggling, was not playing well, his attitude wasn't great.
Andy Murray in real trouble against Fernando Verdasco.
You always have a chance. Tough to keep believing, but when you work hard physically in the gym and you put the work in off the court, that's when it kind of counts, that's when it makes it all worth it.
Andy Murray from 2 sets down has fought his way back into contention.
You know, at the end of a five-hour match or whatever, and you've come back from a couple of sets to love, and you're still sort of able to scamper around the court, that's when it counts, and I believe that's the difference between being right at the top and not.
It's another semi-final for Andy Murray.
That was the match that really made him believe, and made us believe as well.
Andy Murray was heading for the exit. Instead, he's through to the semi-finals in extraordinary style.
It just seemed to be that this was the year.
There's only one governor on this court. Right now, it's Andy Murray.
Andy returns a serve from Janovic to win match point.
He's got another crack at the Wimbledon final. 5 consecutive semi-finals at Wimbledon. A second successive final. Sunday's going to be a cracker at 2 o'clock.
Could this be Murray's moment?
That's the big question. After 77 years, can Andy Murray finally shake this monkey off the back of British sport and become the first winner of the men's singles title here?
The way that Andy was playing, you knew he was in great form, but you knew that he had a very difficult match in the final.
Djokovic wins a game.
Game, Semak. Djokovic.
Novak, how would you describe the event tomorrow?
I'm ready to go all the way. I mean, it's as long as it takes, you know, for me to play, to give it all, and I'm ready to go out on the court and give everything I have.
People have been camping out all night at Wimbledon ahead of today's men's singles final when Andy Murray takes on the world number one.
I remember waking up very early and thinking of 12 months previously.
You can be very proud, Andy Murray!
I dreamt that I was playing Radek Stepanek. Then obviously once you actually wake up and, you know, the task that you are facing is against the number one in the world and, you know, it's a Wimbledon final, it's, you know, my professional career, it'll be the biggest day of my life. For Ivan, you know, it was the one major tournament that he didn't win. To me, he seemed nervous, just some of the things he was sort of saying to me when we were on the practice court before the match.
The atmosphere, even the day before, let alone the day of, there was a very different vibe around the All England club.
You don't put on the television before a big match because all the build-up and the hype makes you feel really nervous.
Is today finally the day?
Don't want to jinx it, but fingers crossed,
yeah, really
today's the day.
The closer you get to going out there, you're nervous. And obviously, as you start to make the walk, you're thinking, oh, can I actually play tennis? I'm terrible. I like to feel nervous. I don't like it when I don't have butterflies.
And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon precisely, here come the players. And on the hottest day of the year, this is the hottest ticket of the year.
Spectators applauding and waving flags. Someone holds up a sign that reads, "Let's make history."
Novak Djokovic to serve. Ready? Play.
Djokovic serves. The first rally is a long one, but Andy wins the point.
It was absolutely roasting. It was so hot on the court. First few games were pretty brutal. It's long points, long games, and I was struggling for breath at the beginning.
We wanted him to make a great start. You've got to try and get Djokovic on the back foot.
He's a third of the way there. Andy Murray wins
the first set.
Stretching for a ball, Djokovic falls down.
Was that emphatic or what?
Winning that second set, you know, we then started to believe, you know, we thought this is going to happen.
He's got it!
Goodness.
Andy Murray looks to put 77 years of hurt behind British tennis. Coming out to serve for Wimbledon.
Is he just going to make this really easy for us? We're not going to suffer.
I don't remember anything about that day until it was 40 love.
Championship point. A long, blistering rally comes to an end when Djokovic wins with a well-judged drop shot.
The game was supposed to be easy. The last game with Murray achieving everything that he's wanted since he was a kid.
There's a huge difference from being 40 love up, and now all of a sudden at 40, 30, you start to think about it a little bit and the nerves build.
Djokovic crosses himself.
Three match points have come and gone.
No, this isn't real. This isn't real.
This can't happen.
This can't happen.
I went to the back of the court to get a towel. I saw my arm and hand shaking, and I've never had that before.
You suddenly felt this game really could be a match-turner.
Please let this be the day, because we know how desperate he was to win this for the country, for Britain, for us, for Dunblane, for everybody.
A Djokovic shot hits the net but goes over.
One by one, Djokovic got it back.
Sporting immortality doesn't come easily.
There was almost like a little smile on Djokovic's face.
Andy wins a point, and his mother applauds.
I was so afraid that he'd got that close, and then it was going to end in disappointment again.
Djokovic fails to return his shot and Andy celebrates.
Advantage, Murray.
Championship point number four.
He won Olympic gold with an ace. How about one more here?
Djokovic sends the ball into the net.
The waiting is over.
Andy's girlfriend beams with delight as he goes to shake hands with his opponent.
Andy Murray is the Wimbledon champion.
He embraces Djokovic, then covers his face with his hands before kicking a ball away. His mother's in tears.
After I won, it was just relief.
He gave us that moment. He delivered it for us all.
It changed British sport. I mean, it gave us a Wimbledon men's champion.
It's the most important match in my career, because I do believe that if I was sitting here today having not won Wimbledon, then everything else I achieved in my career wouldn't matter.
He climbs up onto the centre court stands to kiss his mum.
We've waited 77 years for this. The men's singles champion of Wimbledon 2013, Andy Murray.
Andy lifts the Wimbledon trophy.
That is what winning Wimbledon meant to a British player.
Later, he arrives for a press conference.
Yeah, winning Wimbledon I still can't believe it, can't get my head around that. I can't believe it.
Andy being photographed by a scrum of photographers as he leaves a building.
There's no resting for a Wimbledon champion. On just an hour and a half sleep, Andy Murray was up early doing media.
We're just so thrilled for Andy. But, that's a class going by.
people had asked me a lot of times, you know, how do you think your life would change?
From about 8 o'clock this morning, I think, is doing wall-to-wall interviews with...
I didn't want to have a different life, and I didn't want to have people following me around all the time. It's a bit strange.
The sun is shining on Dunblane just now.
People were feeling positive outside the newly named Murray Wins in Wimbledon today.
The sports personality of the year is Andy Murray.
Martina Navratilova presents him with the award. Now Andy films the City of London on his phone as he flies over it in a helicopter.
Good. Moving back up, take both feet to it and pedal. Good. And push.
What do you do after you've won Wimbledon?
Good. All the way. Centre of the collarbone. Good.
Wasn't that sure for a little while after I'd won, like, where do I go next?
It's being billed as the host nation against Andy Murray. If the world number two were to win all his matches, two singles and one doubles, Great Britain will win the Davis Cup.
Davis Cup, is for me, is always the time when I get the most emotional watching them playing, because they're playing for their country.
When I've played Davis Cup since I was 17, I loved it.
There's something about tennis where you don't get to play as part of a team that often. You know, put the name of your country on your back when you walked on the court.
I think everyone's excited about playing in the tie. It's obviously a huge occasion for everyone that's part of the team.
I was very nervous the whole week in the build-up. I found it very, very stressful.
He's got it back in play. Goffin with a forehand. The lock to win it for Murray. He's done it!
For the first time since before the Second World War, Great Britain have won the Davis Cup.
Winning for your country is amazing. You get to spend that moment of glory or victory with all of the team. It was really nice.
I'm not going to call him Sir Andy, but...
I would insist.
He has a responsibility as being one of the top tennis players in the world, but obviously an ambassador for his sport, and using that responsibility to help to drive changes within tennis.
You want to get as many kids playing tennis as possible. You need to make it very accessible. Tennis is not a cheap sport in this country right now.
The greatest hope that a person can have as an athlete in the sport, I mean, is that you leave the sport better off as a result of your time with it.
He's wanted to give back. He's wanted to be that person to inspire the next generation. He's a tennis superstar, and to be out there hitting with these young kids and trying to inspire them to follow their dreams. Sometimes all it takes is that one day, that one inspiration that will make you say, yes, I want to be a tennis player.
2016, London.
My consistency this year has been very good, and just had the best clay court season of my career.
Funny, when he won Wimbledon the first time, I thought, that's it, he's done it. I don't care if he never wins anything again, that's it, fine. I should have known better that he's never going to be satisfied.
He looks very happy, he looks very comfortable, yeah. He's very fit, his back is fine now, he's in good shape.
I know how hard these events are to win.
Oh, that's just a phenomenal shot.
I'd love to try and do it again.
Murray, from pretty much the beginning of the event, has been playing better than anyone.
Quarterfinal versus Tsonga.
Taking Andy Murray for granted these days. Seven semi-finals. And I don't know whether we realise how lucky we are.
He celebrates a win against Tomas Berdych.
Murray in straight sets. That's Sunday afternoon taken care of. Andy Murray will play Milos Raonic.
Andy signs an autograph for a fan.
Andy, how
are
you feeling?
Good, thanks.
Thanks
very much.
Good luck today.
Thank you.
Morning.
Walking out to centre court.
I feel very motivated, and you know, when that's the case, normally good things happen.
So the Wimbledon men's singles final, welcome to centre court. Andy Murray against Milos Raonic.
Wimbledon 2016 for me was just the icing on the cake, because he did it with ease. He didn't have us sitting on the edge of our seats this time. You know, he just showed us just how good he was.
And he wins point after point.
Andy Murray's having a lovely time now. Surging to another Wimbledon title.
Championship point. And he serves, and after a short rally, his opponent sends the ball into the net.
He's there! Straight sets again! Wimbledon champion again! A supreme performance, a first-class tournament. Andy Murray.
It definitely felt different to me, and the one thing that I made sure that I did this time was that I really, really enjoyed it.
Looking emotional, he covers his face with a towel.
Winning in 2016 was a much better feeling for me. Like, it wasn't relief, it was happiness, excitement, all of those things, because I'd done it before.
He raises the trophy. His mother applauds happily.
You're hugging that trophy. Feel good?
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously, you know, the most important tournament for me every year. You know, I had some great moments here and also some tough losses, and obviously the wins feel extra special because of the tough losses. So, yeah, I'm proud to have my hands on the trophy again.
I just see him holding the cup. He seemed to be hugging it. It was lovely.
A jubilant Andy stands on a balcony and shows the trophy off to a crowd. 2016, Rio de Janeiro.
Murray says the last 4 months or so have been the best period in his career.
The Team GB flag bearer for the 31st Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro goes to Andy Murray.
Doesn't get much bigger than that, a chance to lead out your country in an Olympic Games. You know, it's bigger than winning a tournament.
Going to the Olympics was just huge for him, and to be given that great honour of carrying the flag, he just absolutely loved it.
He has done it! Andy Murray has won a gold medal again! He is the first man ever to retain singles tennis title.
I mean, winning two Olympic golds in singles back to back, that's a huge achievement.
It's been a great few months for me. I'm very happy with how my tennis is going, obviously, and yeah, I'm glad to have won another gold medal. My goal is not to try and reach number one this year. I mean, I'd have to win pretty much every match between now and the end of the year. And I want to try and get there, but I don't think doing it by the end of this year is that realistic.
And Andy Murray has only gone and won an eighth title of 2016 for the first time in his career. He would be the world number one.
You know, the year that I've had to have to barely get there, like only just get there, you know, is unbelievably difficult.
For him to have achieved Grand Slam success and to be world number one, and to win the Davis Cup as well, he's ticked every box that a player wants to achieve in their career.
You're hoping that your offspring will do well at whatever course they take in their life. Actually achieving number one status in the tennis world, no, that's the sort of thing that dreams are made of.
From Andy finishing a photo shoot, to him racket in hand on a court, warming up for some training.
The amount of training and pressure that the body is put under to compete at the very top of the game, once that starts to take its toll, it's incredibly hard to stop.
I have to say it again, there's definitely something wrong with Andy Murray.
Game, set, match, and that's it! Certainly physically, Andy Murray.
7, 6-1.
He must be so frustrated that the body is letting him down, the body that he built up so strongly.
Nothing helps because you're in lots and lots of pain and you can't do what it is that you want to do and you love doing. I said to my team, look, I think I can kind of get through this until Wimbledon. That is where I would like to... That's where I would like to stop playing. But I'm also not certain I'm able to do that.
Looking emotional, he lowers his head.
When he was kind of out with his hip issues, he kind of missed, you know, 3.5, 4 years when he was world number one.
Andy, does that mean that this might be your last tournament?
Yeah, there's a chance of that for sure, because I'm not sure I'm able to play through the pain, you know, for another 4 or 5 months.
Never has a sportsman's hip been the subject of more fevered speculation. This morning, Andy Murray confirmed he's now got one made of metal.
2019.
It's been a heroic fight. It just shows how much he loves the game and how much he wants to play the game, that he's gone through operation after operation trying to fight his way back to the top.
Hey. I want to enjoy playing now. I don't know, I feel like I've used up a lot of my emotions over the last few months and stuff, and I just want to have fun playing tennis and be happy being on the court again.
How exciting to have Andy back.
It's amazing, isn't it? We didn't think this was going to happen at the Australian Open.
At Queen's Club, Andy makes a winning shot.
Such a welcome return.
How did it feel to be back?
Yeah, it was brilliant. I enjoyed it a lot. I was a little bit slow at the beginning, but got better as the match went on. And yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I'm very fortunate to be back playing tennis again. And thank you.
He and his doubles partner lift a trophy. A set of steps leading up to a tennis court.
From when he was young, whenever there was a major disappointment, defeat, setback, he always came back stronger from it. It always moved him on.
As a parent, you just want everything to go right for your kids.
Everything else should be in your locker, I think.
Although it's been incredibly tough for him physically and emotionally, he's never lost sight of the fact that he wants to play tennis at the top level.
He serves.
I think I persevered. That's really been at the story of my career.
That character, the stubbornness, hunger, desire, the will to win is probably Andy Murray's greatest attribute.
He's got it. Goodness.
Serena was the one making me laugh today out there.
He's the most successful, most popular British sports person that there has been.
Sir Andrew Murray.
It's thoroughly deserved.
What Andy Murray has done for British tennis is just absolutely incredible, and it is difficult to put into words.
Wimbledon champion again.
Tennis is an incredibly gladiatorial, passionate sport. What you can't teach is what is within. That's what's made him such a great champion.
It's Festival Friday. Get your Glastonbury on. Press red and take your pick of live performances on iPlayer right now. Or get sidetracked with Annie and Nick, bringing you the Worthy Farm vibes on their Glasto specials. Listen on Sounds.